Okay, Clemson appeal, August 7, 2025, 4:15 p.m. Home stretch for today. Still on Mr. Edwards' testimony. Real quick for day two, Miss Oda, I think you mentioned that if Miss Olson was necessary, she could be available on August 15th. I don't know if Miss Oda is actually with us yet. Let's see. Give her a minute there. Was that, do you recall Ms. Jones? I think Ms. Oda said the 15th she could be available. She mentioned a couple dates.
I think so. I'd have to look
Ah,
back.
there she is.
Let
Yeah.
her answer because now she's here.
All right. Yeah, Ms. Oda, I think you mentioned that if Ms. Olson was needed, she could be here August 15th. I was thinking maybe that could be our day two then.
Yes, I believe August 15th, all day she was available.
Okay. Would that work for the other parties? Hopefully to wrap it up on that day.
I believe so. The only problem is the project engineer is not available Friday the 15th.
Okay. Let's see. I mean, I hope we finish it. It looks like, Mr. Clemenson, it sounds like the bulk of your testimony is still Mr. Heacock, right?
It's split evenly between Mr. Heacock and Miss Olson, actually.
Yeah. When's your engineer available, Mr. Derlin?
So let me double check. Available Tuesday the 12th. And I'd be happy to go out of order if we need to have her testify and then go back to Mr. Clemenson on Friday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest. Does that work
Okay.
with you, Mr. Clemenson?
Let me check. We're talking next Tuesday.
Yeah. It'd have to be an afternoon for me. I have hearings in the morning, but I can do it at 1 o'clock anytime after.
I'm not going to. Well, I could squeeze it in if we could get it done really quickly, I guess. So I guess it, Mr. Derlin, depends on the. I mean, we're both going to be questioning Miss Vader, correct? So we have to determine together how much time we're going to need.
Sure. My questions are going to be very limited.
Okay. I am not opposed to trying to squeeze it in, but I try to make it just a couple of hours if we possibly could. I need to just get that taken care of with that one, I
Okay.
guess.
Yeah, let's try then for 1 o'clock then and try to finish by three if we can. And then also on the, if it works for everybody, then that's on the 15th at 9 o'clock starting. Okay.
So that's 1 to 3 on August 12th,
Yeah.
Tuesday, and then 9 a.m.
Yeah,
August
and then as
15th,
long as it
Friday.
takes on the 15th all day, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we'll get back
Sorry.
to Miss. Oh,
Sir,
sorry.
one clarifying what time on Friday was that? I missed that.
Oh,
Sorry.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So okay, still Mr. Clemenson and Mr. Edwards there. So go ahead, Mr. Clemenson.
Okay. I will share screen once again. All right, so the next line of questions is going to be related about the process of this permit in relation, Mr. Edwards, to your submittals. One of the things that we have to do as appellants in this case is determine the intersection between pushback that you gave to the county through the years on your submittals and the county's response to it and how these things sort of combine to form the opinion that we finally got. I think we will all say, and even the county will admit that there were a lot of step deficiency interview information reviews in this, a lot of back and forth through the years, and so we're just trying to unpack how that eventually gets to our the final decision. You have indicated that you provided all information to the county that it requested at its at those various step deficiencies. In July of 2021, and this is in reference to, and I won't show it, document A41, which is an email between planner and reviewers Jeff Smith and Steve Heacock. You were pushing back at the time against the county's request for a geotechnical report, especially as it pertained to the northwest portion of the project. Why did you resist at that time?
Yeah, I think pushback is a strong word. I think that more clarification was the proper word to use there. I was I provided the county multiple emails where they confirmed I didn't need a geotech. So I was just asking for clarification. I wasn't saying I'm unwilling. I said, why is this needed now when before you said no? Here's three emails that you said it's not required, and now it is all of a sudden. I'm confused. Can you please explain? Indeed. So I don't know that that's pushback. It's just clarification as I'm working with the county to make progress.
So the county was waffling back and forth in 2021 about the geotech, correct?
Yeah, there was, I mean, again, the process is the process. As more information came to light, as the SDAP changed from another to a one to a two, there was changes along the way and we adapted accordingly. And eventually we ordered our geotech and submitted it as required.
Okay. And that requirement came in A20, which is what we're looking at. This is one of the step deficiencies. This is the one from May of 2022. And essentially, yes, this was the one in which you were granted permission to go ahead and plant the wetlands, which is great. And then they requested the geological review letter. And they wanted it in reference to the slope proximity to the 20% slopes in your northwest portion of the development. Do you supply that letter as they requested?
The geotech? Yeah, I contracted with a company. They provided me with the geotech report and I submitted it for review.
Did you supply a site map to the geotech reviewer for that assessment?
I don't recall if I also supplied a site map. We would have already supplied site plans through the engineer, unless those are two different things.
No, same thing. I'm just wondering if if you had provided to the geotech the civil plans or the site map that was attached to them.
Did I supply the geotech engineering firm a copy of the site plans?
Yeah.
I would have to go back to my emails from way back in the day and determine that. I don't recall. I ordered it, I set it up, they completed the task, and I submitted it.
Okay.
I don't recall the steps involved between point A and point B.
Okay. Did you inform the geotech that the exact reason why the county had wanted it, that they wanted some design recommendations at that one location on your parcel?
I'm sure I communicated what was requested from the requested information here, and then that company provided the letter they did. I didn't go into real specifics. I just, hey, here's what's requested. Can you help me? And they took care of it and provided a letter.
Did you also provide an older geotechnical letter that the Servient parcel had obtained for their home site, or the lead appellants, years earlier?
Yeah, initially I thought maybe that would be a quick and efficient way to move forward and make progress. There's already a geotech on file with your property. So perhaps that's something that we'd be able to utilize. I found that's not allowed. So we move forward with our own.
Okay. Moving on now, I don't have anything more on the geotech. Moving on to A21, which was the next info request from the county. So we're moving on to October of 2022. This is the one which Mr. Heacock and Jeff Smith came at you with something that seemed to surprise you, which was a farm plan requirement from the Kitsap Conservation District as required by the codes that were cited there.
I want to say surprised. We met face-to-face, they explained, and we started working with the Conservation District. So again, clarification is not a surprise.
Did you ask them why they had not asked you for that at one of the earlier reviews?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. There was times where I wish I had just known to again, be efficient and produce what's required. So, yes, I do recall asking them, why are you asking for this now? Why wasn't this asked for initially? Because I would have happily complied with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a little bit of frustration that the county hadn't requested that, for instance, in the first step efficiency.
Inconvenience. Yeah. I mean, again, when you submit for review and you wait months and months and months under a stop work order where you're limited on how you can utilize your property, then yeah, I guess perhaps frustration would be an appropriate word. But I wasn't mad at any individual. It was just, boy, you know, tell me what you need and I'll gladly provide it.
I hope you understand, and for all parties, that you know that the applicants have stated that the appellants are largely responsible for a lot of delay here. But there's but the county did contribute significantly to delay with some of these as well. Did you feel any resistance to the farm plan because you were really genuinely undecided about the extent of your use of the farm?
I was more just interested in putting this chapter behind me. I definitely wanted to make progress and be done. And obviously it's important to get it done correctly. So, you know, if eventually I came around to where, you know what, let's just work with Helena Conservation District. And the farm plan is, you know, somewhat vague in certain realms, especially related to what animals will have, because you're right. We are not static on what animals will have one day, if any. So, so yeah, it was a step that was required. I could have my own opinion on whether I think that that's crucial or not, but ultimately it was required, so we did it.
Okay. So with the, in other words, with the types and quantities and the uses of the animals not defined, was it challenging when you were discussing with the planner how to figure out things like specific waste storage facility locations and the sizes of things like that? Did that become a challenge?
Well, it's, if you don't know the quant, yeah, you can't create a plan if you don't know, or if you're not confirmed in your plans, what you're going to do with the property. Instead, this was a document, somewhat of a live document, to where, you know, in the future, if and when we decide to have animals or build a barn, okay, well, build a barn, need a permit, potentially. We have animals, well, we need to work with the conservation district to update our farm plan, which we would intend to do in the future. So, yeah, it is, I guess, somewhat of a challenge. Not really, you just have to be somewhat vague and flexible.
I'm going to pull up foundational exhibit F23. What we're looking at is the map associated with the farm plan that was prepared by Helen Jones at the Kitsap Conservation District on behalf of the Edwards. Does your farm plan show livestock areas placed directly on the property lines?
It looks to me that the red border on the farm plan picture does not, it extends to the edge of my property.
So you've got two pastures, one to the left, one to the right, a dog yard. Those do abut the west and east portions of the parcel. Is that correct?
Yeah, at the time, yes, they do.
Okay. And this was the point at which the county first learned that a barn was under consideration as well, correct?
I don't believe so. I believe that was on our site plan prior to, in an earlier submission.
Okay.
I think Steve attested to that earlier when he said it was early on they knew about the barn. So.
Okay. Was there any reason why the barn was not explicitly added to the civil plans at that time? Because, I mean, you were going to end up with a farm plan and a civil plan that didn't match each other. Was there any thought about adding the barn to the civil plans?
I mean, ideally, of course, like most applicants, they're probably looking for quick, efficient, and cheaper ways to move forward. So updating civil plans to include a barn that we don't plan to build anytime soon, if ever, just didn't seem like a real reasonable use of resources.
Okay. The farm plan, you know, still states, as it is today, that the hedgerow buffers involved, as you show in DMP 422 up here at the left, top left corner, should consist mostly of deciduous small trees and shrubs. Instead of following that guidance, you ended up planting conifers in those locations. And I believe you had the farm plan recommended plants, but you planted them elsewhere on the property. Is that correct?
So we purchased multiple types of vegetation that's native to the area for restoring the buffer area within the wetlands. We packed as much in there as possible, and there was some residual leftover. So no, we didn't purchase anything with a specific plan to plant this area you're designating on or showing on the farm plan there in the northwest corner. That was just residual leftover from what we purchased from the conservation district. Also, the you know that planting of the conifer trees in the northwest, that was after. So there initially was no buffer required on prior site plans. This was something that through the farm plan was introduced as a good idea, and we obliged with that idea. It was later that you requested to instead have conifer trees. And so then we said, okay, well, let's try to appease our neighbor and be friendly and nice, and let's plant some conifer trees. So we did that. That's a start. It's not necessarily the end of our planting. Even though now, as you know, that condition's removed and there is no buffer required because we're not clearing the easement, which then becomes our buffer because that's a legal easement we have access to. So we can, per Steve Peacock, utilize the easement as our buffer.
Do you believe there are no buffers still required?
Not no buffers. I'm talking about the northwest corner along my western boundary that's shared with your property line. I think you referenced that earlier where the, all of a sudden a condition of a buffer along that area was removed based on us deciding and updating our plans and our permit to no longer clear the easement.
Okay. We'll discuss that later because we'll discuss that later. Did you or the county decide to let's talk about the constitution of the buffer that's shown here? Did you or the county decide to abandon the plan's recommendations for hedgerows? Was it did the county recommend that you not use like vine maples and things like that? Or did you decide upon that?
I don't know that it's been decided that we wouldn't do that. I guess why would you think we're not going to do those things?
I'm looking at because you've decided to plant conifers instead. So in other words, the farm plan.
We don't. Go ahead.
So in other words, the farm plan recommended a specific buffer type, and it is referenced as a regulatory sort of requirement that in the permit. In other words, the permit's conditions indicate that the farm plan sort of guides the constitution of the buffering, and yet. In this case, what the farm plan indicates is the constitution of the buffer doesn't match what was actually planted. So that's the question I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, so I guess my interpretation, perhaps I'm misunderstanding this, is the farm plan is a recommendation versus a requirement. SEPA, there is no requirement in that area anymore. The conifers were because you requested me to potentially consider putting conifers in the area along with the hedgerow, vine maples and such. So I started that process despite no longer being required to. Again, okay. Try to be neighborly and friendly.
Yeah, the next questions may not make a whole lot of sense then because it would seem like we're looking at this from completely different perspectives, but SEPA, as we read the decision, does continue to require the buffering in the northwest.
As a point of order here, these questions seem like they're more appropriate for the SEPA responsible official. So I guess I would request that we limit the questions to Mr. Edwards' knowledge of this case. Okay, we've already established that he's not a SEPA responsible official or otherwise a sophisticated actor here. He's just...
No, we're trying to determine discrepancies between submittals. I mean, that's what we're trying to figure out here.
Yeah, like I say, those kind of issues, I don't think are really helpful, Mr. Clemenson, but, you know, just try to get past those as soon as you can.
Okay. We'll discuss more of the SEPA requirements later. That buffering that you installed, Mr. Edwards, ends 25 to 30 feet from the northern boundary and sort of 12 to 14 feet from the southern edge of your entrance road at that corner. Is there any reason for that?
I believe it's 10 feet off of the roadway is the first tree. If you're claiming a longer distance, that must include the roadway. And then on the other side, to the north of the driveway, there's already trees planted there by yourself on Debbie's property, leaving no room to plant those along with the maples and the deciduous trees we already planned to plant all along the driveway. So yeah, there's limited space. And that's the reasoning. We have a vision for the property and we intend to plant, which I've shared with you, those blazing maples or something similar all along the driveway on both sides.
I'm going to skip, Your Honor, I'm going to skip the remaining hedgerow and questions here and save those for Mr. Heacock. Mr. Edwards, have you stated to the county that you're going to be obtaining an updated farm plan prior to the final inspection for this permit?
If that's a requirement, I'm happy to do so, but I don't plan on doing that until, if I'm required to, like I said, I'll do it. But I don't believe I'm required to do that. I thought my interpretation is if and when I decide to move forward with having some pets on the property, that I would want to update my farm plan accordingly.
Good. Okay. All right. I may ask Mr. Heacock about that as well. There is an email here in our exhibits, and I'm trying to find it right now, where you had indicated that you indeed were going to obtain an updated farm plan prior to final inspection. And that came out of a March meeting, I think, last year. Or it might have been this year. I can't remember. I'll do my best to find that. We'll get that cited. That includes the questions for the farm plan. Let's move on to the input that you had on the civil plans. Again, we're going to be asking Ms. Vader a lot of questions about this, but at some point, Ms. Vader also had to rely on a bit of feedback from you. I'm going to be opening up F19. I realize Mr. Edwards is probably going to show up really small on your phone. Again, the applicants have stated a number of times here that the appellants are responsible for delays in this permit's handling. How many times overall has the county asked you for revised site plans since 2023?
I'd object to that line of questioning. I'm not sure what any kind of delay has relevance in this proceeding. We're just talking about compliance with code.
I mean, Mr. Derman,
just allow this one question, but yeah, like the other ones, Mr. Clemenson, it's pretty tangentially relevant. So go ahead.
Well, let me rephrase it, Mr. Edwards. I mean, if did the county request a number of times between 2023 and 2024 for updated site plans?
I believe that they did.
I also have a kind of a clarifying question for the clerk. Is this the, or I guess for the county, is this the final site plan that was being considered, or this was the initial submittal? Okay, just wanted to clarify that.
It's a middle submittal.
Okay.
It was submittal as final with the exception of the redlining.
Okay, understood. I've seen a number of versions, so I just want to make sure that I have it right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. If my memory recalls, we did update the site plan more than once. There was multiple times it was updated. So there was clarifying questions and we addressed them.
Okay. I'm going to open up A25. This gets to a step deficiency information request in November 2023. The county in this case was saying the site plan is unclear and is conflicting with the farm plan. And they were asking for updated clearing limits. What was your understanding in terms of what the county was asking for in terms of clearing limits?
You know, I'd somewhat defer to Steve Heacock on this, but I remember having a conversation where essentially we could satisfy these requested items through conditions. So I believe that is what we did.
I'm going to open up F25. It's, of course, way at the bottom, so it's taking me a moment. This actually also clarifies what I was looking for before. So you indicate in this letter on March 4th, 2024, this was in response to that information review. You did not submit updated plans, but instead you met with the county. You'll see in the last paragraph that is where you say that you will work with the conservation district and have them update the farm plan to match the submitted plan, and we'll do that prior to the final inspection. You see that there?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I met with the county. I believe Steve, Cecilia might have been there as well. And ultimately, we decided that, hey, just send this letter so something is resubmitted and we'll move forward with conditions as we discussed.
Okay. And you mentioned here, of course, the farm plan is submitted as merely an estimate, doesn't accurately match the engineered site plan. So even at this point, you know, they're not meant to be in sync, correct?
Correct.
Okay. You also state that the site plan submitted is accurate. And yet it still included the easement at that time. Were you considering the two separate things?
At that point, we were still considering moving forward with the easement development.
Okay. Okay. What did you mean by the statement road realignment needed to alleviate the newly discovered encroachment found within our submitted survey is not, will not be included with this permit?
Yeah, so that road has been in existence for 25 plus years when the house was built. I believe speaking with our neighbor, Debbie, she mentioned that her late husband helped build the road. So Debbie's never complained about or taken issue with, to us at least, never made us aware that she takes issue with that encroachment that the road goes on to her southwest corner of her property. So we didn't see any reason to address a road that no one was in conflict over and has always been there for decades.
So at one point, what this was referring to was the possibility of removing that section of road as part of this permit?
I'm not sure I'm following what you...
Yeah, I just we're trying to understand... You indicate that you're not going to alleviate the road encroachment. I guess we're not understanding what that means in terms of this permit.
Let's pull up the last exhibit and read through what information was requested, because I'm sure that that addresses one of the requested items.
The site plan is unclear, maybe conflicting with the farm plan regarding the access easement along the west side.
Okay, the second, submit a revised site plan detailing the road realignment. And we're saying we're not realigning the road. It's not necessary.
Okay, so that doesn't refer to providing details on the execution of the easement or not. That just wasn't addressed.
Yeah, we were still open to one or the other. We were keeping, really what we wanted to do is reach out to you, which I did the day we received our acceptance letter, and somewhat bring up some negotiations. Hey, we're willing to take this off of the plans and not develop the easement, and we can go down that path another, you know, later of our negotiations.
Okay, that will likely come up later, but I'm not going to ask about
that. Yeah. Now.
Was somebody else want to speak? I'm sorry, I don't know if I cut someone off.
No, looks like you can keep going.
Okay. All right. So we ended up in a fifth review with the county because this information letter didn't last particularly long. And we ended up with Exhibit A26, which was later the same month. The county once again says, please revise the site plan to show SEPA required functional screening buffers. The roadway shown as existing has not been developed, needs to be addressed for stormwater and so forth. Please revise site plan. They're asking again if the easement is to be developed or not be developed. I guess we're confused as to what they're looking at here, if not for the fact that did the civil plans indicate accidentally that on one sheet that the road was already in existence?
I would assume to this line of questioning, this is going to what the county's thought process was. I still don't, to be frank, I still don't see the relevancy of most of this line of inquiry, other than basically what I'm asking for is there a finish line on any of these questions? Mm-hmm. Or
we're getting to the end quickly.
You think today, Mr. Clementson, maybe, or in the next 15 minutes?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
let's shoot for that. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mr. Edwards, what were they asking for here? How did you interpret this? They were asking for revised site plans again, to add the screening, which had only been previously on the farm plan, correct, in part, and whether or not the easement would be executed.
I'm just going to take a moment and read this. It's hard to read while also listening, so... So the first paragraph there wanted confirmation on whether the easement was constructed or not. So a prior site plan, you mentioned, Cecilia, marked it off, labeled it's not in existence, right? Because there was a conflict there. So I believe that updated site plan with Cecilia's notes, the red checkoffs or whatever you want to call them, addresses paragraph one, if the easement to be developed with this permit, please revise the civil plans and drainage report. So to account for the creation of the impervious structure. So second paragraph, I questioned Cecilia on this because if you looked further on within the civil plans, she would have found information and descriptions regarding the drainage report. As soon as I pointed that out there, she said, I'm so sorry, go ahead and resubmit. Nothing else is needed. You're right. I see it on page 3 or page 60 or both. So I just pointed it out to her where to find the information she was looking for. And then she noticed it was in fact there. Third paragraph, if the use of the easement is not to be exercised, then the road shall be removed. Okay. So we were still basically what the county agreed to do was condition it. Which you would see in one of the acceptance letters, the one prior to the final, where the conditions within the acceptance letter clearly said, if you do clear the easement, this is required. If you don't clear the easement, that is required. And they've just conditioned it out with both options and allowed me to decide how to move forward. And that's when we started our negotiations, which we won't go into now, but ultimately resulted in me submitting a new submission to remove the easement.
Okay. So ultimately you didn't submit anything in response to this information request, correct?
The county I submitted the letter sign that you showed as that's what they requested of me.
Oh, that was the previous one.
Okay, sorry. This is getting confusing apparently.
Yeah. The letter was the previous. That was the response to the previous request. Did the county ever receive a response to the fifth? I'm trying to figure. In other words, was this all handled verbally rather than?
It was partially verbally, partially conditioned on the acceptance letter, and partially Cecilia crossing off the site plans to update them. So.
Okay. We'll discuss. This is a topic for all parties that we're going to be bringing up at the. With the county, obviously, because this gets to what they're thinking. I do have the next line of questioning. We're getting towards the end here. I mean, chronologically, we're up to October 2024. Mr. Edwards, you sent an email in response to the aforementioned acceptance letter and such. My line of questioning in this is going to take longer, I think, than we have. It would be best to pause here for continuance, or what's the opinion?
Okay. It's like we just have 10 minutes left. So if this is a natural breakpoint, that's fine. And, you know, Mr. Clements and I, you know, we've been focusing a lot on the time, you know, it takes for the hearing. That it's not because of you specifically. It's an issue that the county this year has had a very unusually large number of multi-day hearings, and it's taken up a lot of county staff time and resources. So we're just trying to be more efficient. I mean, you're a pro se, you're not an attorney, you know, so like, and you're doing a very, very good job actually for a pro se, but we're still, you know, focusing a lot on, you know, who's a bad guy here and on things that, I mean, ultimately, you know, my experience in these kind of hearings is usually the SEPA response, you know, a lot of times that the project opponents will point out, you know, deficiencies in the SEPA checklist, and the SEPA responsible official comes in and says, well, we're used to dealing with this kind of thing, and we did our own investigations. We know what's important and what's not, and all that, what I call fly-specking, you know, becomes, for the most part, irrelevant. And like I said, there was some fly specking done today, but a lot of it you raised big issues. But I just don't want you to feel picked upon or anything. We're just trying to figure out how to make this as efficient as possible for everyone that's involved. That's all that's going on here. So, Your Honor, like I said, I think you've done a very good job.
Your Honor, I also recognize, Your Honor, that this is unusual. I mean, this is an after the fact case too. And so we're looking at this perspective as the county is, as we all are, as Mr. Edwards is. And so believe me, it's hard to find an exact precedent for exactly what we're dealing
with. Yeah. Even for me, I've done a couple thousand of these hearings, and it's pretty rare you get to see the actual impacts, you know, instead of probable ones. So, yeah, it's an interesting case. So anyway, we'll see you all then next Tuesday at 1 o'clock.
I guess as a clarifying question. So are we beginning with, so on Tuesday, is it possible to question Ms. Vader, because that would be her only availability?
That's the only reason we're doing Tuesday for Ms. Okay. Vader. I don't anticipate anybody else that day, actually. So,
okay. All right. In that case, I will let her know to show up at 1 o'clock.
Okay. Sounds great. We'll see you then. All right. Have a great day, everybody. Goodbye.